Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone was always talking about it, you know. If you shoot more, you can score more.
Breisaitl, his shot goes wide. It's 5-on-4. We're scoreless in the first. McDavid scores! He banked it off of the goaltender and in! And it's 1-0 Edmonton.
Was that where you were aiming?
That was where I was aiming. I've done that a couple times.
He has an unbelievable desire to add layers to his game. So the goals that he's scoring now are much different than the ones he scored earlier in his career. I think that's part of his evolution as a player. What we're seeing is unbelievable. But the way he goes about it, it's very impressive to see from my vantage point.
McDavid again got it from Draisaitl. Scores! Connor McDavid!
60 goals in that short of time span is amazing. But I keep going back. You guys have heard me say this a million times, but I keep going back to the fact that what drives him is team success. So he'd be most happy not with his 2 points or whatnot or his 2 goals. He would be happy with the team's 2 points tonight.
60, a lot of great players in the past have done it, and it feels good to join that list. Obviously, we've got a lot of work left on this year, and looking forward to putting ourselves in a good spot heading into the postseason.
He certainly is the best player in the world.
McDavid again got it from Draisaitl. Scores! Connor McDavid!
Yeah, McDavid gets to 60. Cam Moon with a great call last night and some comments from after the game. McDavid, Woodcroft, Draisaitl, as McDavid becomes the third Oiler to get 60 in a season. Gretzky did it 5 times. Curry did it a couple of times. That is a rare achievement. Only 4 active players have reached 60. Auston Matthews last year, Alex Ovechkin, and Steve Stamkos earlier in their careers. So a lot of fun discussion. How high is he going to go? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he could get to 70. I said with Chelsea, I'm not going to predict it, but he's gone on stretches where he's had a goal per game, and who knows if he has a hat trick or something like that along the way. A couple empty netters could help him out. But regardless, the Oilers are on a good run here. And here's the thing. They haven't played great the last 3 games. They've won 5 straight. You know, Seattle's a pretty good team. Seattle's goaltending was really costly in that game on Saturday. Not a good performance by the Oilers against the Sharks on Monday, but they got the win. I thought the Oilers played pretty well for the most part last night. A couple of big mistakes haunted them, and give Arizona credit. They're working pretty hard, even though they're lower down in the standings. And Arizona's 6-1-3 in their last 10 games, which is quite good, but the Oilers were able to pick up the victory. So in the Pacific Division, Vegas 94, LA 92, and Edmonton 90. Vegas and LA each have a game in hand. Vegas playing at Calgary tonight. The Kings are not playing today. So it's looking now, unless the Oilers win the division, but that's still going to be tough. Though they do play LA twice and they do play Vegas twice. So opportunities there. But good run here for the Oilers, and obviously seeing McDavid doing what he's doing is pretty special. The NCAA basketball tournament, built-in drama. Don't know the players, don't know the teams, and trust me, I really don't. But every game's game 7. It tells you who the seeds are. It tells you who should win and who shouldn't. And we got an overtime game coming up here, Michigan State and Kansas State, tied at 82. Michigan State scored with about 7 seconds left. Kansas State had one less shot to win it, so they're going to overtime. That is number 7, Michigan State, against number 3, Kansas State. We'll keep you updated on that one. The other game, not so close, Connecticut, which is a number 4 seed in the West, leading Arkansas 59-33, 4.5 minutes into the second half. Later on tonight, Gonzaga, UCLA, and Florida Atlantic will play Tennessee. In the NHL, a lot of games tonight. Here's what's going on. It is 4-0, Capitals leading Chicago. That's late in the second period. In the third, Minnesota and Philly still 3-3. Second period, Boston up 3-1 on the Canadiens. Rangers and Hurricanes 1-1. Senators lead the Lightning 3-1. Maple Leafs up 3-2 on the Panthers late in the second period. After two, the Blues with a 4-2 edge on the Red Wings. Former Oil King Jake Neighbors with his fifth of the season. And Seattle leading Nashville 1-0 after the first period. Sprong with the goal. Not a lot of shots in that game. 7-3 in favor of Seattle. We'll keep you updated on those ones. 780-496-0063. It is Derek Scott in the studio tonight. Derek, what do we have?
Hey, Reed, how you doing?
Good.
Well, we got a couple of texts so far. First of all, a compliment to you about your intro. That's from Richard. It's a very cool intro, Reed, which I completely agree with. You definitely blew my mind with that one. And also we have another text here that says, great show, Reed. Quick note on Connor's continued improvement, scoring from behind the goal line by deflecting his shot off the goaltender's head into the net. History in the making. That's all I want to say. Thanks, Reed, from Doyle and Birchwood.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We are watching history unfold. Like, we are watching a player who 20, 30 years from now, after he's retired, we're going to talk about and say, do you remember the night he did that? Do you remember the season he did that? Do you remember this play? Do you remember when he and Leon did this? And again, I always put a little bit of a qualify on here. I know fans want the Stanley Cup back in Oil Country, and probably no one wants that more than Connor McDavid either. You got to remember that.
Deserves it, I feel.
As long as if he's not trying to do it. But yeah, we're watching. I mean, look, he is one of the greats. I don't think it's hyperbole. It's like watching Tiger Woods in his prime, LeBron, Michael Jordan. I mean, Gretzky, Lemieux. That's the category he is in. And as I was talking about in the first half hour of the show, he is meeting, and as Kelly Rudy referenced, maybe exceeding expectations. And that's what the true great ones have done. I mean, you guys know I'm a huge golf fan, probably more than most of you. A lot of people laugh at me for liking golf. But you know, Tiger Woods, when he was 17, 18, going to Stanford. Well, he might, beat Nicklaus's, and granted, he didn't beat Nicklaus's record, but still, I mean, it's Woods and Nicklaus for the greatest golfer of all time.
Agreed.
There's nobody else in the debate. So, if the only knock you can have on Tiger Woods is that he didn't win 18 or 19 majors, you know, that's about the only negative thing you can say about him. McDavid's going to win the Art Ross this year. He's going to win the Rocket Richard. He's going to win the Hart Trophy. And he's done those things before, except for the Rocket Richard, I guess. But so it's going to come down to how many championships can be associated with him. And if you're as old as I am, you saw that play out with Mario. I mean, it took the Penguins, I think, 5 or 6 years to even make the playoffs once. Then he finally, you know, Jordan was good, but they couldn't get over the hump. You know, the Pistons were beating them. And then they started winning titles, and then his legacy really gets cemented. So that, I think that's what we're looking at with McDavid. The individual greatness is going to be a joy to watch. Does it shine through in the postseason, and does he win Stanley Cup or Cups here in Edmonton? But part of me tonight is just, you know, enjoy the ride. And Draisaitl too, who, again, we probably don't talk about enough. Just a measly 4 assists last night.
Like, phenomenal.
2 absolutely mind-bending passes. The one to Nugent Hopkins, and then the spinning backhand breakaway pass to McDavid in overtime. And, oh, that, by the way, then he got the puck back and passed on one knee to McDavid to set up the game winner. He's at 110 points. So I guess if you want to pull a historical comparison, I know in this town you'll say Gretzky and Curry. You know, you can go Jordan Pippen. That's maybe another good one too. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun for sure. Okay, we're going to talk more about the Oilers, some perspective on McDavid, and we'll tie it into some other players as well. Jason Chimera and Ladislav Schmid, a couple of former Oilers, are going to check in the second hour of the show. When we get back, we're going to visit the CFL Combine with the head coach of the Champs, Ryan Dinwiddie.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in. The CFL Combine in Edmonton, so we got a lot of very prominent people in the Canadian Football League in town, including the head coach of the Grey Cup champion Toronto Argonauts, Ryan Dinwiddie. Ryan, you're on with Reed. Welcome to Inside Sports. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready to do some interviews tonight with some of these players, and you know, hopefully we do a good job. We can find some good Canadian talent to add.
Well, we appreciate you hopping on the show, and I know it's busy, so I'm glad you found a window for us, because it is cool for a guy who hosts a sports talk show like me to have all these CFL people in town. Now, you're going to have to fill me in, because I only know very generally, but I understand the Combine is working a little differently this week as opposed to other years in terms of some of the things the prospects are going to be doing. How's it kind of changed this year, Ryan?
Yeah, just more on-field work. You know, we used to do on-field work, but it was really, you know, one-on-one. We're doing more team segments. You know, what we're doing inside run, you know, running and throwing the football with 12 guys on the field. So that's what's really changed up this year compared to years past.
I'm happy to hear that, because as someone who follows sports, I understand why you want to measure someone's height, weight, speed, and all that kind of stuff. But I've always kind of thought to myself, well, it's great if a guy is really fast, but can he run that fast while he's holding a football or trying to catch it, right?
Well, yeah, and you can see the guys, you know, compete level, you know, have his learning and understanding football at the same time. So, oh yeah, I mean, it gives us more opportunities to really evaluate these guys, you know, to the fullest.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, when you interview these guys, are you one of these coaches, or do the Argos approach that you ask the different questions, you know, if you were a tree, what would you be, or what would you do if you saw a $20 bill in a toilet, stuff like that, or are you a little more straightforward? I'm curious.
More straightforward. You know, kind of want to see what his background was, you know, how he was, you know, raised and where he was raised and, you know, certain things like that. And we try to make him comfortable. You got to ask him, you know, tough questions, but, you know, we try to make sure we're, you know, not putting the kid in a tough spot.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to flash back a bit with you, if you don't mind. A good chance here to get to know you a little bit about some of your experiences. I got to go back to that Grey Cup. And Justin Lawrence, as you, of course, know, is from the area. So I had him on a few days after you guys won. And I know he's now signed with Montreal, but he was just on this show a couple of nights ago because he had the Grey Cup in his hometown. Like, you're coaching in the Grey Cup, and there's two blocked field goals in the last 3 minutes. When did you finally sort of process what an unusual, intense ending that was? Because you were embroiled in it, so I don't know what, you know, you're probably processing it different than all the people observing the game.
Yeah, no question. I mean, after the first one, I was like, okay, now let's just find a way to stop them. And then, you know, when they had the long one, I thought we had a good chance for them to miss it. I didn't necessarily think we'd block it, and then they blocked it again. It was just like, okay, now. So we ran out the clock, and then, you know, once the clock ran out, and, you know, probably about a minute or two into the celebration, you're like, wow, that was pretty intense. You know, we had a chance to, I thought, to really put the game away with Robbie Sack, and then the two kicks missed on that as well. I've never had a game finish like that in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, two seasons for now with you, Toronto, I guess would have been, because you were hired in 2020, right? But then the pandemic wiped it out, so they would have been three seasons. Was that the timing?
Would have been three, yeah. It would have been just two.
Yeah. For you, and I'm sure a lot of people remember you playing and you know, the 07 Grey Cup and all that kind of stuff. When did going into coaching become a reality for you? And I ask that because there are always those players you hear, oh, well, he's going to coach when he's done. He's going to coach when he's done. Were you one of those guys, or how did that journey play out?
Well, that was a plan for me. You know, my dad's a high school football coach, so I've been around it forever. So it was, you know, something that I wanted to do. You know, and then it really, until you get opportunity to really do it, right, you got to have the opportunity to you'll be offered a job and then work your way up. So this is something I want to do for a long time. It's been a great journey.
Tell people what the hours are like as the head coach of a pro football team. How much do you sleep during the season?
Well, not much. I mean, normally about 5 hours a day. You know, some certain days you might not get that, you know, if you're playing out west and you're traveling back out east. So, yeah, I mean, it's they're long days, but, you know, they're pretty fun. So, yeah, normally we're there about, you know, 15 hours, you know, during the season. Off season, you know, we're down, you know, you can work in the regular 9 to 5, and you know, might get into some phone calls, some things that you have to do as far as like finding players and maybe doing some evaluations. But the off season is a lot easier than it is during the season as far as sleep.
I'm curious about that process of finding the players. And of course, you have the combine for some Canadian players, but man, oh man, I mean, there's the NFL, USFL, XFL. I interview American players all the time. Sometimes they're like, I didn't even know there was a CFL till I came out up here. How competitive is it right now, and maybe downright difficult to get players into the CFL?
It's tough right now just because the other leagues are out there. And, you know, guys, when they choose to come up to Canada, you know, a lot of these players, that's probably where they're going to be for the rest of their career. And, you know, I think what we try to do is a good job of establishing that mindset in some of these kids that you can come be a household name up in the CFL and make some money and then have, you know, some money you can make off the field, you know, have that fanfare. And it's exciting to play where they're playing these other leagues in front of 2,000-3,000, you know. They're hoping that the NFL is still there, you know. And then once they feel like that's not there, or these leagues kind of full, I think they're all going to, you know, come back to the CFL. We'll have more of a pool to pick from.
Yeah, well, the CFL has outlasted all these other leagues, right? So you're probably right there. You mentioned your dad. I got to circle back to that because that's so cool. And again, I don't know if your dad is still with us or anything like that, but do you talk to him after games, or does he ever say, like, do you still get advice from him since he coached too, or how does that work?
We talk, you know, after the games. For a lot of the games this year, he was actually in Toronto. Yeah, they just retired him, my mom, so they would come up, you know, spend like a month, then go back home and come back for another month. So, yeah, he got to sit on the sideline for a bunch of games, and then we were losing, and I kicked his butt out. Said, no, you got to go stand. I'm superstitious. So then the last game of the year, you know, we had that game where Chad and the start, we had the playoffs locked up, and said, okay, you got one more chance. Had him down there. We obviously didn't win that game. I said, oh, well, that's it for you. You got to stand upstairs for the rest of the year.
Just a couple more for you. I know you got to go. You played at Boise State. And it's interesting. I mean, it's not that far from Edmonton. So I have two or three buddies that's where they've gone to see an NCAA football game in Boise State. That is the famous blue turf, of course. And you're highly regarded for your college career. What was it like playing there?
Oh, it was great. You know, great experience. Met a lot of good friends. You know, we did some good things there too. You know, I hadn't been to a bowl game until, you know, I got there. Bart Hendricks was the quarterback that year. We ended up playing in Edmonton. No, it was awesome. And I, you know, really enjoyed the living there in the mountains and doing all those things. But, you know, I go down there usually once a year. Still got a lot of friends down there. And, you know, they show up and get loud in that stadium. It's pretty loud. And, you know, mine only has 35,000, but it sounds like 50.
Okay, and my last one for you, Ryan, and I've started asking some coaches this, and because I've got some fun responses over the last few years. What would Ryan Dinwiddie, the coach, have thought of Ryan Dinwiddie, the quarterback? Would have he been frustrated by him, or what would have he worked with him on?
Well, I think it'd be great. I mean, I, you know, pretty much coached myself. I felt like in the CFL, I didn't have the best coaches in Winnipeg. And so I think I would have been able to, if you lead me in a direction and help me out, I think I would have had a, you know, better career than I did. But yeah, I think, you know, as a coach, you want players that put the time in, understand defenses, understand coverages, you know, that are going to be prepared each day. And, you know, you got to have a quarterback that does that. So I think, you know, McLeod was that guy. You know, Chad's becoming that guy. So, you know, I think that kid's got a bright future now too. We'll see.
Ryan, I really appreciate that you took the time to hop on the show. This was cool to get to know you a little bit. The Argos are here Sunday, June 25th. I still can't believe you guys pulled that one out last year in the regular season, but I guess it was a sign of things to come for you guys. So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one. Thanks.
That is Ryan Dinwiddie, the head coach of the Toronto Argos, checking in from the CFL Combine. So there you have it. Dad was a head coach, and Ryan had to kick him off the sidelines this past regular season because they were losing too many games when Dad was there. But turned out that they went on to win the Grey Cup. Good to talk to Ryan there for a few minutes. Really appreciate that he made time for us. Okay, we will transition back into a little bit of hockey. We got a couple of former Oilers coming up for their perspective on McDavid, Ekholm, and some other storylines. Jason Chimera and Ladislav Schmid. Kansas State leading Michigan State by a point with 17 seconds left in overtime. We'll probably have a resolution when we get back.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.